nice having somebody else, and I know my wife would certainly welcome somebody else but to help her and Lauren tickle those ivories, Judson. He's got the talent. I just keep trying to nudge his ribs. He has the talent, and he has that special gift, and I'm not just teasing now. He can hear music, and I pray that someday we might have the joy of having Judson up here on a regular basis. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it, though? Well, our scripture reading this morning is Matthew chapter 7. Surprise, surprise. Matthew chapter 7. And today we are looking at our final message in this Sermon on the Mount. We'll begin at verse 24 and finish out this chapter. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I trust the Lord will bless these words to our hearts and prepare our hearts for what is to come. And it's my desire that it would be to his glory and honor. Shall we pray? We do thank you, Father, for this series that we have been privileged to consider for many months, about 8 months worth, if you would total them all up, and there were many times in between there. Others here were at the pulpit. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the things that you have taught us and shown us from your word. And I pray as we bring this message to a close, this Sermon on the Mount, I pray that our hearts would be open to truth. I pray that you would fill me. How inadequate I feel to even be able to bring this to a close, such a significant passage of Scripture. Lord, may your Holy Spirit just take over. Speak to our hearts what is needed, and we're going to trust you for that. Lord, I pray that as a church we can come to you at this moment with united hearts for the Hogston family. Oh, Lord, how critical is Cindy's condition of health this very moment? How quickly things transpired. From being up and around with laughter and joy Friday morning at the ladies' Bible study to by midnight, her life was hanging in the balance. And her heart had stopped several times, and they had had to resuscitate her once again. Lord, I pray your will be done. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage Benny and Ernestine as they are helpless and they sit by her side. Lord, we know you don't make mistakes, and we know that nothing is too hard for you. Our days are numbered and our times are in your hands. We pray, Lord, your perfect will in the coming hours and days concerning Cindy. And we will thank you for this. In your name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. We can't emphasize enough the gravity of Cindy's health right now. They have not given Benny and Ernestine much hope or encouragement. They gave her about a 20% chance. It's hard to believe. Those that saw her on Friday morning. So continue to be in prayer for the Hogston family. It's out of man's hands. It's up to the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7, and we'll pick up at those verses that we looked at. As we look at the final words of this important message, they're familiar words. We've read these words hundreds of times. In fact, as far back as I can remember, and I go back a long time, watch it. He's older than I am. I can remember singing as a little boy a song that we still sing at Awana. Can we do something different this morning? I'll allow you to stay seated. Now, I know Betty, our cheerleader, would love to come up here and do all the motions, but I'll allow you to stay seated for this little chorus. You ready? You know where we're going, don't you? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand fell flat. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. Build your life on the Lord.
Thank you. That was my prompter over there. President Trump doesn't have anything on me having that prompter in front of him. I was watching her mouth over here, especially on that third verse. It's a song that earliest in my childhood memories, I remember that song. Well, it's just a kid's song, just a kid's chorus. I was talking with Benny and Ernestine in those wee hours of yesterday morning as we were there with them in the emergency room waiting room. I'm convinced that these words that we look at today, about which this little chorus has been written, are and could be labeled as some of the most significant words our Lord ever spoke. Do you realize the impact of what our Lord said? The statement he was making was, look, everything I have taught you, everything I have said, you'd best pay heed, or your life is nothing. What kind of a man would say something like that? Who did he think he was? Whoever hears these sayings of mine. Was this a guy on an ego trip that has never been excelled? Either this man was who he was, God the Son of God, the creator of the universe, the giver of life, the truth, the way, and life itself, or else he was a lunatic to say what I have said is that important, that if you do it, your life will make it. But if you don't do what I've said, your life is going to be destroyed. Have you ever stopped to think about what the implication was in these four little verses that we sing that little song about? Everything in anyone's life depends on whether that person does what he says or does not what he says. And there's no middle road. I've known these verses my whole life, but I have just been impressed in recent days and hours as I have thought about how significant the words of our Lord. And so today I want us to look at the significance of this message that he delivered that day as he brought that lengthy sermon to a close. And I want us to see a couple of things here. I want us to see, number one, the critical difference in verses 24 through 27. Before we look at those critical differences, I want us to just be reminded and ask ourselves, well, is there any connection to all he's said in the verses that we're going to consider today? Is there a connection? The answer to that, you ought to know simply as you glance down and look at how verse 24 begins. Is there a connection or isn't there? Yes or no? How do we know? Therefore, that is like a neon sign flashing its signal anytime we are in the Word of God. When we come to the word therefore or wherefore, that is a direct connection. This is not something that is taken out of context. This is something that is directly tied in with what he has just been teaching. So, the word therefore brings this all together to our attention. I can't just set it back. I can't just ignore it. I can't just say, well, you know, that was some fine stuff, you know. Boy, those Beatitudes, those were really challenging. And as we remember some many, many weeks and months ago, we learned that those Beatitudes, it is humanly impossible for anybody apart from the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill what he says. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and so on. Our natural man, our natural nature does not have the capacity or the desire to fulfill any of those things that he says there is blessing, there's happiness attached to it. We need God. And this message, as we have seen, it depicts the life of one whose heart is right with God. So, is there any connection? Absolutely. We're not just tacking this on at the end and not giving any thought to the previous three chapters. It's all tied in. And you need to remember that. Here's another question, though, before we start pointing out some critical differences. We've talked about the connection to it. The next one is, what relevance is this to a person? What relevance? What relevance is this to you or your friends or your neighbor or the person sitting down the pew from you? Is there any relevance here? What's the answer? How do we know? What's the word? Huh? No. I haven't heard it yet. Maybe it's not in there. The second word. What's it say? Whoever or whosoever. How many of you that would relate to? You are a whosoever, or you're a whoever, seven of you. I don't know what the rest of you are, but I think this means it's relevant to every one of us. You're just stubborn. I'm not going to raise my hand. I'm not going to raise my hand. Whosoever, the New King James says the King James says whosoever. I don't know what the other ones do. Whosoever. And then notice in verse 26. Where's the relevance? What do you find in 26? Got your voices, didn't you? Everyone. Whosoever and everyone. Sounds like there's not one person excluded. Wouldn't you agree? I think so. So the relevance of this, as you're sitting here, or if you're listening online, I'm convinced it's got you covered. This is for you. This is for me. And we'd best pay attention to it. This isn't one of those things that is for someone else and it has no relevance to me. No, we're all covered here. And there is a direct connection to all that we've heard in these previous messages and the truth that our Lord has taught in these three chapters. So, having given some of that as a background, let's see the picture that he used to point out the critical difference. And the picture he used is he talked about two different men or two different individuals. That way it applies to the women, doesn't it? Men or women, two different, and he's going to talk about two different people. Now, let's notice as we go down in this a bit, let's see some similarities between these two individual lives. If we look at these verses, and remember, we read these verses a while ago for our scripture reading, but it's very clear that both men heard the words of the Lord. Verse 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Verse 26, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine. So, here is the truth that neither one can claim innocence. I didn't know. I never heard. I had no idea what was expected of me. No, the Lord is saying, you're on equal ground there. Both individuals heard the word of the Lord. Perhaps we could say he could have been looking out at that crowd at that time and be speaking, whosoever has heard these sayings of mine. I could look at you and realize that a good percentage of you here have been here for the majority of or all of these messages. Whosoever, everyone that hears these sayings. Similarities there. Equal. Something else. Both individuals built a house. In verse 24, which built his house. This one built his house. In verse 26, built his house. Now, is the Lord referring to frame and masonry and glass window panes and electrical fixtures and plumbing? Read the whole story in context, and you recognize that our Lord Jesus is using this to picture something. He's signifying something. Do you know what that is? He is picturing what one builds their what? Their very life on. What kind of building material do you use? And the truth of the matter is, if you look at this, we have no scriptural content to argue that these two men that built these houses did not use the same identical building materials. Thank you, Mark. Building materials. They could have gone down to Home Depot years ago. Years ago, do you know that you could buy a house kit from the Sears and Roebuck catalog? How many of you remember that? Jeremy and Beth used to live in Wisconsin. The house is owned by Jeremy's bosses, the lumber company. The house came all delivered board by board, piece by piece. Years ago, the one that put that house up came from the Sears Roebuck catalog. They delivered all the materials to the yard. They sent the blueprints, told you how to do it, and you put it together. Well, could have been that both guys ordered it right out of the same catalog. Similar, both built a house. Both heard the words. And notice another similarity. Verse 25 and verse 27, they both experienced identical trials or adversity, or in this instance, storms of life. With both of them, we read that the rain came down. The rain descended, and the floods came. We had a flooded yard over here yesterday. John was trying to get a pump to work and get that water out of here. Meanwhile, the Lord just kept sending rain, and that pool was getting bigger and bigger. And a couple of different times I came back in here with a flashlight looking. I'm wondering if the water is going to be seeping in again. Praise the Lord, it didn't. Not only did the rains descend and the floods rise, but it says that the winds blew and beat upon their house. Identical word. And so many times people are saying, he's had all kinds of opportunities. You know, if he would experience what I've experienced, if he had to go through what I have to go through, he wouldn't be standing. He wouldn't be so chipper. In this instance, everything is identical so far. Equal, equal, equal. What might some of these storms be? Listen as I just share some of the thoughts of what kind of storms blow on people's lives. We're not talking about rain or snowstorms or ice storms. Mr. Robinson suggests the storms are what tests us. Living in the sunshine of life doesn't tell us much about ourselves. Anybody can build a house that will stand firm when the sun is shining and the wind is not blowing. It's the storms that reveal the strength of the foundations. Sometimes the storm breaks us with a fury of great temptation. How do you handle temptation when it comes? Some stand. Some fall. what we really are is exposed by a storm of temptation. Others, sometimes the storm is a crushing personal loss. You may lose a job that not only provides you income, but it gives you that tremendous personal security. A carefully built stock portfolio suddenly is almost worthless. Now what? Now what? But you were counting on that. Sometimes the storm roars in as we are pounded by sickness or the fear of death. You can lose your health. And anguish and pain or the prospect of death may come between you and the leisurely retirement you were looking forward to. Now what? For others, they stand firm until this one blows in, the storm of prosperity. And some would say, what a storm. Let her blow. Bring it on. You know, at first, we're convinced that it's going to make our lives green and healthy. But sadly, in many people's lives, when prosperity keeps coming, it can develop into a large destructive force, just like a damaging storm. What we gain, not what we lose, often serves as the supreme test of our foundation. More men and women have been knocked off their spiritual foundation by great wealth rather than by great reversal. All we have to do is just look at what happens with these lotto winners. Story after story after story is told of the wreck and the ruin these big lottery winners experience within the first 5 years after winning it big. Usually their marriages end up on the rocks. Many times their whole world crashes around them, unbelievably, with declaring bankruptcy because they can't handle that much prosperity. They don't know what to do with it. And then, for all of us, there comes the storm of judgment, because we will all stand at the judgment bar of Christ and give an account for the living of our days. And you know that storm is going to be the final test of whether just what our foundation was, whether we have built on what was secure or what was fleeting. So we look at the things that they experienced. And we've seen great similarities. Both men heard the words. Both men built a house. Both men experienced the same tests. But now let's move B to the differences. And we notice as we look back at through these verses 24, 25, 26, and 27, one man built his house upon a rock. Verse 24. What's this referring to? When we think about this, what do you mean, built his house upon a rock? To what does that refer? When you're building a house, where do you start? The what? Foundation. And this man, before he did any of the structural work, he said, I must have a good, solid foundation. You can build a great case, and this would be another whole message, to look at the times in Scripture that the rock refers to none other than, can you guess? The Lord Jesus Christ. And there are ample verses throughout Scripture to point that very truth out, and that's the picture that ultimately we're going to see here. We just didn't take the time to develop that. You can when you get home. Beautiful study to make reference to that rock, the rock that accompanied the children of Israel, for instance, in their wilderness wanderings. You know who that was, don't you? That was the Lord. The striking of the rock, the speaking to the rock, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. God never intended Moses to strike the rock twice any more than his son, our Savior, had to be smitten only one time for your sin and your salvation and mine. The picture is beautiful. So, here's a big difference. One man, built his house upon the rock. The other man, he was only interested in what showed. Does the foundation normally show? Now, maybe you might see some stone around the base of the siding or something, but you know that's not all the foundation. I mean, the structure is sitting on that. The foundation is down below. You don't see that. And so our second man, gone, everything was so similar until we start talking about upon what did they build their house. One man, here's the difference. One man, what did the Lord call him? Wise, he built on the rock. The other man was called foolish, and he built upon the sand. One house stood through the storm, and one house collapsed during the storm. Why? Why? What made the difference? The answer is seen throughout the Bible as we stop and think about, see in the critical difference. We notice here, what is C? The contributing factor. What made the difference? What was it? It says here in verse 24, this man heard these sayings of mine and what? And doeth them. And did them. He heard the word and it meant something to him. And he said, this needs my attention. I must obey. I must respond and comply with what my Lord has said. Verse 26, this man heard those sayings and doeth them not. Nope. I hear what you're saying, preacher, but you know what? I'm doing a lot of important things. This is a very important time in my life right now. Man, I just got this job. I don't have time. You know, if I start doing what Jesus wants me to do, you know, you have to cut some corners. You know, you kind of have to do some things under the table. You can't make it. It's the dogs will eat you out there. You can't be honest all the time. You've really got to. Nope. I hear what you say, Jesus. I hear you, preacher. But that's not for me. Not for me. And it says that this one in verse 26 doeth them not. As we look at this story, let's notice that contributing factor and the difference it made in the whole picture the Lord is using. The one who he called wise, who heard the word, built on solid rock, and then built all the structures. The rains came, the floods came, and the storm, the wind blew hard. But as we sang that little song, so build your life on the what? Lord Jesus Christ. And the life will stand. And the one that said, no, that's, you know what? I think I can handle it. I'm smart enough to know what's right and wrong, and what do I need Jesus for? You know, if I start obeying him, it's going to change my life completely. No, thank you. I'll be fine. And outwardly, the structures may look great. There is no hint in these verses that the house that the wise man built on the rock looked any better outwardly than the house the foolish man built upon the sand. They could have looked at the foolish man's house, he might have even put more features in it. He might have even had a sauna. He might have even had all kinds of things there. And that's probably about the truth, because it seems like those whose life and their interest is only on worldly things, that is their life. And they major on it, putting on a big show. They want to live in the fanciest house in the subdivision. They want their house to be the showcase when somebody drives in. That's their world. That's okay. But you know what? That house, if it's not built on the solid foundation, the storm will blow it down. Remember, what are we picturing here? What are these houses depict? They are picturing, what are we building? What are we building into our life? What is important to our lives? Do you ever pay any attention to what the Lord says in His Word for you? Do you ever start the day out by opening up your heart and your mind? Lord, today is a new day. I will wreck today unless you guide me and direct me. Show me your way. Show me your truth. There's the wise man. Down through the ages, down through the ages of time, how one responded to God's will and way for their life is the difference. And whether or not that life ended in tragedy or that life ended in a success as far as God was concerned. There's just one little difference there, a different foundation. And what does that mean? It's whether or not they build on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is the difference. I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 124. Listen to the psalmist testifying of how important God is to him and to Israel. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters, here's the storms, then the water had overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the proud waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in whom? The name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. During those early morning hours, yesterday morning, as we sat in that waiting room, there was a, can't remember whether it was the social worker that was in there part of the time or whether it was a doctor that had come in there to talk. And we had been sharing some prayer and scripture with Ernestine and Benny, and Ernestine's sister and brother-in-law were also there with us. Ernestine started talking, and she mentioned something like this, and she made reference to a time of crisis such as what their family is going through. She just looked at that individual and said, how do people face something like this without the Lord? Sooner or later, the storms are going to blow in every one of our lives. Some have been going through some difficult storms now and then at different times. Some of us have been able to escape. But you know what? They're going to come. What's your life built on? If it's not built on the Lord, you're not going to make it. Period. I don't care what it is, if it's not the Lord. That leaves us two verses, verse 28 and 29. Let's notice number two, the crowd's decision. We've looked at the critical difference in the story the Lord told and the picture he used, but Matthew, the writer, refers to the crowd's decision, and it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." And then the next verse in chapter 8, when he was come down from the mountain, this was all up on that mountain, you know, great crowds followed him. Let's think about the crowd's decision here. They came to this conclusion. They were astonished at his doctrine, his teaching, how different it was than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees would quote rabbis. The scribes and the Pharisees would quote the teachings. But the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ was different. You have heard that Moses said unto you, but I say unto you. You have heard, but I say unto you. He was different than anyone they had ever listened to. And what he taught was different than any truth they had ever heard before. And then they were also impressed with his authority with which he spoke, as I just illustrated. Moses said, you've heard Moses, but I say unto you. Who is this man who speaks with such authority? So they had made some important decisions about him, but I close with this. Did you notice that there is no record in these two verses whether any of these people who heard his words obeyed them? If you find it, show me. Which brings us to this point. What have you done with the words of the Lord? Have you ever obeyed his word? We saw in verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, has religion on their lips is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do what? Do the will of my Father. It's not enough to just say, I know his word. I've memorized his verses. I can say them in my sleep. That's not going to get you anywhere if you have not applied the truth. The people were impressed with his teaching. They were astonished at his authority. But did any of them, were any of them brought to the point where they said, I want you as my Lord and Savior. I want you to direct my life. I want to obey you. I want to follow you. Have you? Listen as I close with just some statements from Oswald Chambers. If you've built yourself up in private by listening to the words of Jesus and obeying them, there's your wise man. When the crisis comes, it is not your strength of will that is going to keep you, but the tremendous power of God that Peter refers to in 1 Peter 1:5 when he makes reference to being kept by the power of God. All you build will end in disaster unless it is built on the sayings of Jesus Christ. But if you are doing what Jesus told you to do, nourishing your soul on His Word, you need not fear the crisis, whatever it is. Every spiritual castle, that's our lives, will be tested by a threefold storm: rain, floods, and winds. And Mr. Chambers made reference to the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a tendency in all of us to appreciate the sayings of Jesus Christ with our intellects while we refuse to do them. Let that not be true of us. It's easy to build with the sayings of Jesus, to sling texts of Scripture together and build them into any kind of fabric, but Jesus brings the disciple to the test. You hear my sayings and quote them, but do you do them in your office, in your home life, in your private life? Everything must be radically built upon the only foundation, our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you? Shall we close in prayer? Father, we've come to a very significant passage of Scripture. I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts. This was such a familiar portion of Scripture. We even sing a children's song about it, but oh, the depth of meaning. May we not think lightheartedly of this. This is critical. This is the difference between life and death. Having everlasting life, losing everything eternally. You see our hearts, you know us, Lord. You know those who are listening online. May there be individuals who are in need of moving from the shifting sand to placing all of their hopes, their dreams, their security on the one and only true foundation, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask this for your glory and honor. In your name we pray. Amen.